Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
And you see recording on your end?
I do see the red word recording.
I can hear the jangling of your fucking vodka drink.
Maybe.
Aren't you about to get a massage? Is it good to drink vodka before you get a massage?
I don't know, but it's been a day already. I had to go have an hepatitis A vaccine.
Oh, God. Or is this a massage by some guy named Pablo, and by massage he sticks his penis in your ass?
Here's the thing. Anytime someone says, I'm going to offer you a naked massage, the last thing that's going to go on is a massage. Unless it's a prostate massage.
That's true, and your back's not going to feel better the next day. In fact, it might feel worse.
It's going to feel tighter.
Because you did
freaking... But your ass won't be.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do-do-do-do.
Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Beyonce.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day Beyonce.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
90-day gate, let's love!
Yeah, you did freaky deaky shit like Annie would, apparently.
Oh, you know what? I finally like her. It took me half a season, but I finally like her.
And you know what? It switched because now I can't stand Natalie.
Oh, she's the absolute worst.
So, okay, so apparently we have a lot to talk about. Y'all,
this is 90 Day Gays. We are doing this remotely today.
We are.
She's somewhere in Texas. I don't know where.
I'm in Austin, and Poodle's in L.A., but y'all get used to this, because Poodle's going to fucking China, so this is how our shows are going to be for a month.
This is how the show's going to be through January. We're going to be talking over each other a lot, but it's just how
Which
it has to work.
Which is normal.
It is normal.
It is normal. So, welcome 90 Day Fiancé.
Gays, you fucking whore!
90 Day Gays. Today we're recapping 90 Day Fiancé, Season 7, Episode 8, titled Judgment Day.
Like Terminator 2, Judgment Day, which is also, coincidentally, my mother's favorite movie.
I love that that's your mom's and my dad's favorite movie.
My mother will, that is so fucked up. My mother will tell you to this day, you know what my favorite movie is? Terminator 2. It was so cool. He just like blew those assholes up.
Your mother really is a lesbian. Like, really?
She just loves action movies.
I think Mother Poodle would
mother
be like.
Mother Poodle. She'd be like, a great box eater.
She would be like Tania in Costa Rica, just being a woke woman, sucking on some pussy.
We're gonna talk about that too. Oh, y'all, I honestly spent most of Tania's segment with my jaw on the floor.
Me too.
Yeah.
We're gonna jump into that. So, y'all,
but let's start off with.
Let's jump in.
Let's start off with Mike and Natalie. So, oh, Jesus.
This is just, the whole thing of this is people that are causing, as my grandpa used to say, causing a ruckus over nothing.
Well, and you just have to ask, this could have completely been talked about ahead of time.
Yes.
This whole religion thing. I can't believe it wasn't brought up.
I could see Natalie not bringing it up because she was nervous about it and she felt like, or maybe she hinted at it, but I could see her being so like, if I just bring him to church and then he see church and he see Jesus and then he will open heart and accept this and it will be fine.
I guess, but it seems like he should have known that religion was really important to her. Before that, and said, nope, this is not going to happen for me. And so maybe you're right. Maybe she just was like soft pedaling it. Then she said something that was really disturbing to me. Father and mother must be alike in what they think.
You know,
and
this was a whole.
That's a red flag, y'all.
Red flag to Mike, and you might want to process this to Natalie. Because, you know, that's not necessarily true. Because my mother taught religious education at St. Mary's for 18 years. And my father, I think he went to church for my first communion. And then...
And look how well their marriage worked out.
And that was it. I was going to say.
And your dad cheated on your mom multiple times.
Multiple times. And my mother. And so, you know, they worked out fine. But didn't really mess the kid up at all.
Not at all. You're perfectly adjusted.
Perfectly adjusted.
But anyway, just the complete demand that mother and father must be alike. It was just really disturbing.
I want to know, like, what happened to her father and what happened to...
She's got trauma.
She has... She desperately needs therapy. And I don't think everyone needs therapy, but she needs therapy.
And in addition to that, I feel like there's mental problems. I honestly believe that. I feel like something, and it's not just trauma there. You can just see she's got such crazy eyes.
I don't like, think it's what I think is the mental problem is she has PTSD.
Maybe, yeah.
PTSD, for classic PTSD, where she's triggered by something, she goes into a spiral, she is literally, her body is activated, and then once it passes, she's this total, that's where we're getting this Jekyll and Hyde, where she then it's like, blah, blah, and then when she was done with it, she was like, because she was so, not even coherent, but also she had so much clarity when she was talking to him, when she was saying,
yes,
I get emotional, I am
that's
insecure.
That's what freaked me out.
It
was Jekyll and Hyde.
That's PTSD. When you're in the middle of it think of it. It's like somebody who's like a soldier. When they are triggered, when they hear like, you know, a firework, they become totally just like emotional and panicked and can't even fathom. But then like the next day, they can totally talk about their PTSD and why they're triggered.
Hold on just one second. I just heard her knock at my door.
What is happening?
Oh, y'all, I smell cigarettes and it is my cousin. Olga Pudelskaya, she's here.
I didn't know it was Olga because literally we're starting this late because someone fucking knocked on its door. So I just want to put that out there. I didn't know. Olga.
This time it's Olga.
Olga, good to see you.
So I'm going to take a break. Olga's going to be right over here. I'm going to go smoke one of her cigarettes, I believe. I'm sure they're very strong, so I won't be able to handle it.
There's no filter on those cigarettes.
Y'all, anyway, she smells like a bunch of cigarettes. Anyway, I'll be right back. So I present to you Olga Pudelskaya.
Hi,
right,
Olga. Right, hi, Olga. How are you?
I'm fine. Hello. I just came from Los Angeles DMV, and boy, are my arms tired.
Yes.
Olga taking stand-up comedy class.
Oh, good, Olga.
She's trying. DMV is supposed to be very funny. In L-O-L, teachers say every joke about DMV kill audience.
That's...
Unlike in Ukraine, when you will actually get killed at DMV. Someone put a gun to your head and shoot you.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. What did you
don't ride bus either? You'll get killed there as well.
Oh, I figured. Did you watch this episode of 90 Day Fiance? What did you think about Natalie?
Of course. So I must say, without passing go, I must applaud. She gave great performance. It's very, very good. She know exactly what Ukrainian girl is taught. You immediately, when you do not get way, you throw yourself on bed and you act like you're about to die. And strangely enough, the man who is in a drunken rage, like, let's say, for example, Boris Yeltsin, he'll not be able to see you. Because Ukrainian and Russian men, they cannot stay, only see motion. So if you're, they're like bear. So if you're very still, they not see you. And so then her mother know this. I don't know if you saw this. Her mother knew. Her mother even like climb over her. She's like, no, don't get my Natalie. I cover her.
She did mother, cover. She mother, did cover her.
Mother is very smart. Mother knew. So she mistake Michael for bear, he's quite large. Bear, Boris Yeltsin, they're the same.
Olga, I have to say, this is one of the most sensical things you've ever said. Are you drinking right now, or are you sober?
I do not know what the second word is.
Okay, but have you had vodka today?
Well, only a sensible 3 for breakfast.
Okay, I feel like maybe
it's a Monday after all.
Oh, so no 8-ball today.
No, we have 3 shots of vodka, 4 at lunch, and a jigger for dinner.
Oh, okay.
That's a mistake.
I'm interested, something I noticed is when Natalie's mother knocks at the door, usually when a mother knocks at the door, she kind of goes, however, Natalie's mother was like,
No, you never know. In Ukraine, you knock on the door very quickly because there's only so much time to get out your family before paratroopers come in.
Oh.
So you must do everything quickly. You never know.
Okay, that makes sense now.
You never know.
Okay.
If death squad come, you know, you don't want to be left holding bag. Before they put said bag over your head.
Over your head, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like this is the most coherent you... I have to say, you look great. Are you doing
it's
fillers?
Better when you get, it's better when you get... better when you get Cousin Olga in the middle of the day.
Oh, middle of the day. Oh, okay.
She a little more... She hasn't had as much vodka.
Oh, okay.
I have just a little bit of filler in lip. I had...
Yeah, your lips look bigger.
Just today, I go to a famous doctor in Beverly Hills. His name is Sepulveda Sam.
Sepulveda
Sam. But I tell you, he said the best because there was just a container of mayonnaise sitting on ground. He took out syringe, put it in my face. It was $10, which I did not have, so I gave him handjob, and now I'm here.
Good for
my
you,
face Olga. Feels great.
Oh, that's great. Olga, I feel like we're going to see you later when we talk about Jasmine.
Possibly.
I don't know.
I don't know. I think I'm gone. Anyway, okay. I will say one more thing.
Yes.
So Michael leave. He go out in pajama pants, which, number one, in Ukraine, they think you're crazy for walking around in it.
I did notice he was wearing fucking... like Dillard's pajamas pants. I don't know if you know what Dillard or Bell's.
No, what
there's
Dillard
actually
is.
Bell's. There's a Bell's here in Texas. I've seen one. I might go.
You sound like fucking redneck. Anyway, so he's having some what we call in Ukraine lady beers.
Oh,
they're
yes.
very tiny cups, and he, you know, he buys one serving of lady beer, which is 4 cups, of course.
Well,
and you know that's just getting started.
Well, he drinks them in a red solo cup, which I wonder if that reminds him of home.
Possibly. I hear they play, what's it called, beer pong? We play vodka pong. It's a little different.
How do you play vodka pong?
Well, you first of all, especially if you play with Boris, if you throw in vodka shot glass, and every time you miss, you take 2 shots, and if you miss 3 times... you have to put ping pong ball in vagina and shoot it out of vagina into Boris' mouth.
That makes
it's
sense.
Not to be, it's not to be played for children.
No, must, not children. Yeah. 18 no. and over.
No, no, 14 and over. That's Russian adult.
Oh, okay.
Anywho, so he's walking around. Now she come back. She start to apologize. First of all, Natalie is crazy. No Ukrainian women were told never to apologize. I don't know what's going on here. Anywho, then I hear the words come out of mouth. I am 30,000 in debt. Okay. Natalie, that's when you walk out of the room. That's when you ask him to leave.
Natalie did say...
Olga have literal allergy to debt.
Oh.
Yes, I can actually sense it when I'm around men who owe money to other people.
Well, Natalie did say, I wasn't recommended to relationship.
You know what? She right. She's so right. I would have kicked his fucking ass out so fast.
Oh.
I'm glad her mother know here. Her mother would have pulled out hatchet that she keep to hit stranger with and hit him in head.
Oh, that would make sense.
Anywho, that's all Olga got of this.
Yeah, Olga, I think something's draining out of your lip. You might want to go check on that.
She got to go check on that. I'm getting a little lightheaded, but hopefully I still look good. Okay. Supposedly I go on Christmas Day with a man named Romeo tonight.
Well,
he taking me to Lowry's Prime Rib.
Oh, that place is good, Olga.
Olga love meat.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
Anyway, I only eat goat in Ukraine, so it's better.
It's better.
I'll talk to you later. Merry Christmas and Happy Prishnoshnya, which is our festival of cow pies.
Okay, thank you, Olga.
До свидания.
До свидания. Okay, well, y'all, we're just going to wait for Poodle to come back. He's
okay.
Probably...
Okay, I'm back.
I hope you didn't have one of those cigarettes, because I
think... It still smells like cigarettes in here.
I think Olga was on something for fucking sure. She's higher than a kite.
Yeah, her face looked a little bit like things had been pushed around. Good for her. I'm proud for her.
I will notice, Olga and I talked a lot about Mike and Natalie. I don't know if there's a lot more to discuss, except for whenever Natalie did apologize, she immediately pulled a Juliana and just wanted to sit on his lap with her magic pussy, and suddenly nothing was wrong anymore.
Y'all, these girls do have magic pussies. They know magic pussy. Magic pussy, 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 magic pussy. They know what to do, and she also said that she opened her soul to him.
She said, yes, I opened soul. And that she, but then, and then when she said,
which evidently is the name for pussy in Ukrainian.
Exactly. True. When she said, I'm an Russian. Egotistical person and I'm very self, or I was very self, or no, I'm egotistical and like into myself.
That's her ex-husband's words. I know it.
Oh, that's probably true.
I know it. That she's saying, because I guarantee you her ex-husband told her everything that was wrong with her every fucking day.
Yeah.
And so that's what she's regurgitating.
What do you think is going to happen? Do you think she's going to follow through with this now that she knows he's in debt?
This thing is dead on the table. I'm calling it now. How do you come back from a complete breakdown like this? She said, but with religion being like it is, she believes that he is going to hell and he's going to burn. And
yeah.
I just know when I grew up with people who basically said, if you're not saved in this denomination, if you're not saved in the Baptist church, if you're not saved in the Pentecostal church or whatever, that's the only one that's right and you're going to hell. And she feels so strongly about it. I don't see if anything, unless she subverts every religious thought she has.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Mm. Well, speaking of magic pussy, let's talk about Juliana and Michael.
Good idea.
Y'all, because...
They're at the rock climbing place.
I mean, not really too much happened to them, except for the biggest thing for me is, and this isn't, I don't really want to, y'all don't blow up about this online or don't come at me. This is more of a hope in that, because I love him so much. I love Max so much, this child. And whenever he said that, when they were showing them how to climb on the wall, and he said, oh, you float down like Mary Poppins. I was like, God, I hope he's gay, because I want this one. This one, he's too smart. I hope he's gay. But I don't think he is.
I will say, as soon as he said that, I went, oh.
I know. I was like, I know exactly what you're talking about.
And my spidey sense went, krrr, krrr, krrr.
I don't think he's gay, but I just want, he's just wonderful. I just want to like hang out with him at a gay bar in 10 years when he can drink.
It could be that Sarah, who's basically a gay man trapped in a woman's body, just exposed him so much to Mary Poppins.
I think that's probably it.
So, I can't speculate on... It was a strange thing for a seemingly heterosexual boy to make. But again, I don't know.
I love him. I love them.
I love both the kids.
I love how he, like, said at one point, he was like, well, and I'm assuming Juliana has never done this before. And then the sister's like, really?
How do you know?
But how do you know? And then
he's like,
said...
I asked her.
He's like, she asked me. I told her, bitch.
And the girl's like, okay. They're such, they have such good coping skills. They have such good communication between themselves. Do you notice maybe they do, they weren't children. They were probably very learned children as they were younger, because, you know, ours kept us out of the loop for a lot of things. But these kids have been exposed to everything, so they're very much little adults.
Probably, like, they probably know that Mama Sarah, you know, they probably know that she likes to have multiple orgasms and shit like that. Like, they are very aware.
I could see Sarah doing that.
Oh, she has, she's a contracting boss. She has orgasms all the time.
So, Sarah, when she's buffing the floors.
Yes, she's just like, oh, it's so, oh,
So anyway, Juliana gets in a good dig from Michael, saying, you should get up there, work out with your muscles, because you're, you know, not many people know this, but you lose a lot of fat just when you have muscles.
Well, that's what's so genius about this, because y'all, Juliana, I think, is the smartest person on the show, except for maybe Vince Sarah, but I think she is one of the smartest cast members, because... Y'all, when you call someone fat, they are so destroyed, they will immediately say, never mind, I don't want a prenup, I don't want anything, whatever. Imagine if she called us fat.
I'd do anything she asked.
I would be destroyed. I would say, sure, you can have whatever you want, just think I'm pretty.
I will say, the whole circular logic she put him through about wanting to be an opinionated woman, and when he broke up with her, how she was devastated, she needs to be independent, and that hits right at his white savior complex that he needs to have happen, because that's one of the things that attracts him to her most anything else. Yeah. That and her magic pussy.
That and her magic pussy. Because whenever she, you know, she knows what's going on, because she said in that confessional, when she said that whole thing of like, when he says I'm independent, he gets triggered because he likes to have control over me. Yep. She fucking read him.
She knows. And I also wrote down, Max and Cece are just unsupervised running all over the fucking place. One could have got stuck in the harness, and they wouldn't have noticed.
What if they were just sitting there fighting, and we just see a child swinging from the background, just like, help me! Or it's just Max just swinging, singing, chim chimity, chim chimity, chim chim. That would have confirmed things.
That it would have. Or maybe feed the birds. That would have solidified things a little more for me. So he basically says at the end, you know what? Forget the prenup. If it's going to make you talk independence and think about money, I'd prefer it when you don't think and talk at all, Juliana, really.
Yes. And then, I think the whole kicker of this was when the producer said, do you trust?
I loved this.
The producer said, do you trust him? And she paused and said, I don't trust anyone.
And then behind, I don't know if you heard this, wait. Bidi-boo!
We need to really get one of those snake sound effects.
She would make a great assassin.
Sometimes I really would love the editors of RuPaul's Drag Race to edit her, because I think they would do it so well. They would do it so well.
The editors have a really light hand on this show for sound effects.
They do.
That bothers me.
I would enjoy more sound effects. Do you feel like, Matt Sharp, if you're listening, you're not, but if you're listening, please do that.
If y'all work for TLC, if you're some, let's be honest, chemical warrior woman who works at TLC, and you love 90 Day Gays, maybe just play a little for Matt Sharp.
Yeah, say,
and
get
see
these
what
queens,
he thinks.
Say, get these queens somehow involved.
On Pillow Biter Talk.
Pillow Biter Talk.
Mm-hmm.
That's really mostly all that happened, but just to finish up, like, do you still feel like, do you feel like Juliana loves him, or do you think she's in this to gain status, or just to get out of her situation?
I feel like if she doesn't love him, then she's hoodwinked us all.
I think she loves him, too. I just wanted to check in.
I think she doesn't. I think she loves his kids.
I think she does, too.
I also think she's a good person.
I think so, too. I totally, I agree with you. If she is not, she has hoodwinked us all.
Yeah. Unlike, I'm not sure if Annie's a good person.
I'm not sure
if Angela's a good person. Like, a lot of the people on this show, I don't think Marcel's a good person. I don't think a
I
lot
do not
of
think
people
he's a good person.
And when I say good person, y'all, I think usually I'm not talking about morals. I'm talking about ethics. And, you know, should I do this ethically? And I feel like Juliana is run by some kind of ethical code.
There's a loud truck in the background.
It is so...
God bless it.
Now you're hearing what La Brea sounds like when you're not here.
It's true. I thought it was raining in L.A. Is it not?
It rained all night, and now it's cleared up a little bit. It's supposed to rain again tomorrow. Sorry for that meteorology update, because for L.A., that's all we have to talk about.
That's all we have to talk about.
That's all I have about those people.
Well, speaking of somebody who really loves them, which has convinced me, our next Lonely Heart is... I have to say, I'm convinced Michael loves Angela after this.
I was shocked.
Shocked.
At what I saw. I was shocked. Like, S-H-A-W-K.
Oh, God, y'all. Poodle can't spell when he's in the moment.
I have a hard time spelling unless it's visual.
Oh, God.
But strangely, I'm great at spelling if I see it. Anyway. So, we're in Hazelhurst, Georgia. We're right next to the single curtain panel that we do all of our conversation from. And
Angela's sitting at her table that she clearly got at Big Lots.
And Angela goes, London, come over here and help me, Ma. Angela has a granddaughter whose name is London, because of course she does. That's
you know
all
what?
We need to know.
My cousin's name is London.
Of course it is.
It's true.
That's a city name. That's the name of a city.
Well, my cousin Kelly, she had her oldest daughter, Victoria, and then my cousin Kelly got pregnant when Victoria was 10, and my cousin Kelly said, I swear to God, if this kid is as horrible as the first one, I'm fucking throwing it out the window. But so she let the first one name the daughter, and she's like, what would you like to name her? And so the 10-year-old picked London.
Who does that?
I don't
Who lets
mind
a
it.
Child name someone?
I mean, I love London because that kid London, my fucking cousin London, she's like 13 years old now, but what she used to do to her older sister when
London.
She pissed her.
London.
That's true. When her older sister would piss her off, she would put tacks in the carpet in front of her sister's room, and her sister would go walk in her room. She would say, can you go get something out of your room? And she would step on the tacks, and her foot would bleed.
Okay.
I know. My cousin Kelly called me one day.
She might want to get some help for that.
She literally said, she called me one time, and she said, I'm afraid my 8-year-old daughter's going to kill me in my sleep.
Yeah, I would think that's a good, Anyway, let's get off this because this makes me uncomfortable.
Don't fuck with London. Anyway.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say so.
So basically, she starts to starts talking to Michael, and I mean, were you surprised that K-1 was denied?
No, not at all.
I wasn't either.
The reason why is the producers have been telling us for four episodes it's not going to be denied.
That's why.
So he starts to cry, which is kind of rough to watch. And you can tell Angela's a hardened Southern woman, y'all.
That is exactly what she is.
You become hardened because, first of all, she works as a hospice nurse's assistant, I think we've said. Not a hospice nurse, a nurse's assistant. So you can imagine the shit she has to see and how she has kind of steeled herself.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe we have seen Angela. Angela acts out of rage normally.
Yes.
Because that's what a lot of Southern women, it's easier to get angry. It's kind of like how boys are taught in our culture. The easiest emotion is anger. And it's some of the only acceptable emotions for boys. And sometimes for Southern women, it's the same thing. You get angry first, then it may dissolve into crying. But what got Angela was when she saw someone she loves be devastated.
Yeah.
And you could tell she was trying her best not to cry, and she was kind of experienced. She's like, it felt like a punch to my gut, and that's all I could do. And she almost lost it on camera, and she kept herself from losing it. And that's the most vulnerable we've seen Angela the whole time.
It was, look, Angela rubbed a lot of people the wrong way and was super abusive in that tell-all. So I'm not saying I'm not saying I'm team Angela, because I think she's got a lot of fucking issues that she acts out on people.
There's only one person on team Angela, and that's Angela.
Yeah, I do think she has a... I think that she wants to have a good heart. I don't know if she always does, but she wants to. There's something to that. But then she is just, like you said, she is just reactive to everything.
I will tell you, she is exactly one of the people from my hometown and kind of a Southern people who, she'd do anything for you, they say. She'd do anything for you. She'd give you the shirt off her back. Yes, she would, if you were a member of her tribe.
Yes.
Now, it is strange that she has fallen in love with Michael. And I do think that Angela is a little more accepting of outsiders probably than other people. But I really do feel that Angela has a good heart. She's very aggressive, but I think she does have a good heart.
Well, I think in a lot of ways, probably she feels like she's an outsider.
I agree
with
that.
In her community. And so I think that she relates to Michael. And also, she's a dick pig. She's a dick pig. Oh, she's a dick pig. Like that, an eggplant supersized. That's Angela. That's Angela.
Supersized.
Supersized. Cocoon. I will say, y'all, now that she knows that he didn't get applied, whoever works at like the local y'all watch the fuck out, because she is gonna be pissed.
I thought the same thing. Can you imagine Angela going down to the U.S. visa office?
I mean,
someone is gonna get major. I need to speak to the manager mode
major.
From her. But it's gonna be really rough.
I just think it's a little bit too of like looking at, look, and I can't believe I'm bringing this up. I might be scary to bring it up, but because we don't talk too much about politics on the show, but I do feel the irony.
Ooh.
But I do think there's an irony, and I'm talking about because Angela brings it up. She brings up that I pay my taxes, I'm an American, I'm a single meemaw. I'm like, yes, but probably the people that are in charge of the country right now that you clearly have been supporting, this is a lot of the reason why this immigration thing is not easy anymore.
Immigration has been really tightened.
So it's just like, look at like, and I don't mean that to be a
we
dig.
Don't know.
I mean
we don't
to look
know
at like,
who what she votes or who she supports. But it is obvious. You can't deny that the current administration we've been living in is...
It's making that hard.
Yeah, and there have even been attempts by certain people in the White House to curb almost all legal immigration.
Well, I just bring that up because, like, with the Trump underwear and all that, it's kind of obvious who she probably supports.
Yeah, so, oh, totally.
So I just bring that up in that, like, maybe Angela should think about, like, what she's supporting and if it's supporting her, because I don't think it is.
I'd also like to, I want to piggyback on the taxes comment. She lives in South Georgia, and she's talking about paying her taxes. Bitch, you pay nothing. You pay nothing.
But that is a Southern thing. I know. We grew up with that. They do that in Texas, too.
Do you know what we fucking pay in California? Do you even know what our fucking state taxes are? Also, the fact that you probably have 6 grandchildren at home, and they're in your house, I would really wage a bet that you got some type of government assistance.
I don't think she pays probably she probably gets, hopefully she gets a good write-off. Otherwise, she's got a bad account.
I bet she does. But I guarantee you, with 6 kids in her house, I'm sure they've applied for it. Because usually the people who complain about taxes are the first ones to get unemployment and disability. The first ones. I know the people I grew up with.
The people, that's true. The people, well, no, everybody, that's not the case for me. Everybody I knew complained a lot about taxes because Oklahoma actually has kind of higher taxes. So, but there is that idea of just because, I don't know if I feel this, but that's a very, I feel like, country way of just because I pay taxes, I should be able to do whatever
it
I
is.
Want.
Yeah.
And it's not the way it works, Angela.
Someone on the Sissy Squad said, do you think because you sent your tax return that it should come, your refund should come back with a husband?
Yeah. That's not how it works, honey. Not how it works.
I will say that in some states, because we live in, let's say that we, like a state like, let's take a state like Mississippi, or Georgia's a little bit more, but take a state like Mississippi. They complain about, let's say they complain about bigger states like California, which are more producer states.
Mm-hmm.
They complain about those states all the time. However, Mississippi and Georgia get so much more federal aid than California gets. California puts in so much more federal money than they would ever get.
I wouldn't know that, but sure.
So, yeah, so this idea about I pay so many taxes, honey, we're all paying taxes.
Yeah.
That's not a good argument. It's not a good argument.
I think, yeah. I hope that, I mean, especially after seeing Michael, I hope it happens for her. It looks like it's going to be longer. I mean, were you, when they cut, I mean, I was surprised, like, how pissed off Michael got with his friends.
Yeah. I think he was also dealing with the emotional fallout of being rejected from it. And
you know, yes, I thought when I watched this, actually, this is a perfect example of why sometimes another man just wants to go to his male friends and tell them what happened, and they say, oh, man, that sucks. I'm sorry that you're having
to listen.
And they just want
to
listen. And
yeah.
Instead, men want to either fix it or gloss over feelings. And I think a lot of that anger came as Michael just wanted an ear to listen to.
Yeah, and y'all husbands who are listening, straight male sissies out there, or maybe gay male sissies too, sometimes your wife or husband just wants you to listen.
Yep,
they don't want you to solve their problem.
Don't fix it. Just listen.
Sometimes they just want to, and all you have to say sometimes is, that really sucks for you. I'm sorry that happened. And that's rough. And I wish your day wasn't so rough.
Yeah. Or if
sometimes that's it.
If I'm upset and you're crying, if you just say to me, can I put my dick in your mouth? And I'll say, yes. Yes.
That's a good way to solve a problem.
It's like a binky.
Oh! Don't ever do that again.
I'm like that baby from The Simpsons.
I'm horrified. I want to say one more thing.
Oh, I have one more thing too. Go ahead.
So Michael said, don't say she's trashy. Don't you ever say Angela's trashy. I think we all have to agree that Angela's trashy.
Angela's trashy. I mean, they weren't wrong. They weren't supportive, but they weren't wrong.
Like, if you showed a picture of Angela to, like, a person in Tibet who had not seen, like, another person for 11 years, they would say, that's a trashy person.
They say, she trashy.
She trashy.
She trashy. Yes, that's what they would say. So, but you know, if Angela was watching, if they're still together, which I think they are, if Angela was watching this episode now, either she, if she was with Michael, you know, she literally was like dripping wet. And which,
oh, yeah.
You know, for Angela, that's hard because she's like fucking 60. So she's usually like, you know, magic, Vagisil and that
it's like
shit.
It's like the winds of the desert.
But you know, she was dripping to sit on that dick, or she had to call him and be like, Michael, we need a FaceTime. You love me.
Need a FaceTime so I can finger bang myself and thumb myself.
Thumb myself.
Y'all, I invented something new for women to do on the last podcast, and it's called thumbing. And apparently, I don't know if it's pleasurable at all, but you take your thumb and you put it inside your urethra. Some woman do that and tell me how it works out.
Please don't. Please don't. That's all I have to say.
You never know. Now, that's all I've got to say.
Can we move? Not too much happened, so do you mind if we jump to our Lonely Hearts of Blake and Jasmine?
Because
I feel like once we start to talk about Anna Russell, and especially Tania and Sinjin, we're going to go there.
Let's do Blake and Jasmine, yes. Yeah, that's not much happened. I agree.
Yeah. Except for, I will say one thing. His friend Everett can
The same thing. Everett can fucking get it.
Ooh, y'all,
he would eat a pussy all night long.
Oh, my
He's
God.
He's got that lips to it, or an ass.
Let's be honest, a pussy. all night long. And then when you would say, like, he would say, like, are you having a good time, baby? And you'd be like, mm-hmm. And then he'd just go down for more. I mean, just like.
I think you're speaking from your own experience.
Yeah, when the lights are low, the candles are burning, you're playing Keith Sweat, and it smells like Victoria's Secret. Oh, yes.
Keith Sweat.
I want to tease you. I want to please you.
I don't think I know a single Keith Sweat song.
I know that album like the back of my ass.
I'm sure you do. Wow.
So anyway.
We're getting into a weird area, so we're going to go back to the show.
So y'all, Sissy Squad, if y'all can find Everett's Instagram, I don't mind if you send me that. I don't mind.
I'd like to see it too.
Okay. Anyway, so they want to go on double date, so they're going to meet him.
They're going to a double date, and of course, Jasmine says, a double date. Sounds perfect.
I thought she's more like, me, not programmed to talk to multiple people.
You can just tell she's got the most bitch please face in the world going to meet them. Those fillers didn't do her any good for showing that kind of robot emotion.
Not at all. And when she was trying to talk to Rita,
That y'all, was the most awkward conversation ever.
Rita, if you're in Los Angeles, look us up. We want to drink with you.
She is. Her and those long green nails.
Rita is our people. You know she has like 20 gay friends.
Oh, yeah.
And she is just like...
She was raised by queens.
She was raised... Rita, find us. We will go drink with you. But when she was trying to talk to Jasmine, even then she was like, conversation, show your tits. What? This is not working.
How do I talk to woman who's not sister?
How ear?
I also liked it in the car when she basically said, I'm not here to make close friends. It prevents me from furthering my mission, collecting data for Finland. So it will aid in our world domination. I must collect everything in my twat camera.
Twat camera.
Y'all, Finland is insidious. They have sent out these fembots everywhere.
She 100% has a twat camera.
So she orders. They kind of hint on this a little too much. She's like, do you have green tea? Hot green tea? I don't know why this is such a big deal in Los Angeles, because every fucking hipster orders hot green tea. Her friends acted like she had just ordered, I don't know, like sarsaparilla. and they just couldn't understand it.
I think his friends might have a little bit of a drinking problem, but I also think they're kind of at that age when you're younger.
You don't get it
when people don't drink, and y'all know what I'm talking about. Then when you start to get in your mid-30s, you go, oh, that friend's struggling with alcoholism. Perhaps they need to drink a Diet Coke.
So basically, his label is having, his record label is having a show, and Everett is one of, I want to see one of Everett's shows.
Ooh.
Holy shit.
Oh my God, we should go to a concert, and I bet we'll see Rita.
Maybe. I wanted to talk about it, not actually do it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're mistaking me. You're mistaking my enthusiasm.
You would do it if I told you I'd buy you free alcohol.
I'm in. So anyway, basically Jasmine, y'all, says, I'm not trying to build a career. I just want to be a stay-at-home mom. And their faces go,
That she's like 20 fucking 2 and they're not having kids for 7 years. So what's she going to do? Practice being a fucking stay-at-home mom?
Not to have a two-income family in Los Angeles is really hard.
Really hard. And the fact that, too, that I don't think she gets... They're all in their entertainment business. And so when you're in that business...
It's like, a hustle. It's all a hustle.
It is a hustle. Everyone has side jobs. She is not seeing that at all. And also, even like... Jasmine has no creative energy at all.
No.
And like,
I guarantee you, Rita like makes her own like handbags.
Exactly.
Or something. Yeah.
Yes. And even if you're not like my own partner is not in the entertainment business, but they understand creativity. Like you need to be with somebody who understands creativity. And I guarantee you, if she marries Blake, in like 5 fucking years, he's gonna like be working at some corporate job, like, or he's gonna be like a fucking courier or some shit like that. All right, y'all, and now we're just gonna take a little break, as Poodle says, now this
and now this.
Poodle, you know when you're listening to a song on the radio and you get the profound feeling that the song playing was written about you?
Oh, it's not a feeling. I know a lot of songs are written about me.
What?
Yeah, when they get a little bite of Poodle, it's hard to let go. There are too many songs to even elaborate on.
That's fine. You don't have to tell us about them.
You know, the song The Scientist? About me?
You slept with Chris Martin?
Coldplay.
I know he's from Coldplay.
No, I slept with Coldplay. All of them. Keep up. Lionel Richie, he was stuck on me from the very beginning. Who do you think suggested Nicole should go to boarding school?
Okay, we get it. No, Poodle, I bring this up because apparently you know what it's like to have a song written just for you, but for the rest of us mere mortals...
Your words.
Imagine having the power to gift that same incredible feeling to someone you love with an original song from Songfinch that actually is written just for them. Sissies, Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and it lasts forever.
Oh, I love this idea. Flowers die, chocolates melt, but a song is eternal. Unless it's a poorly written song, then bury that thing forever.
Agreed. But I have to say, the songs from Songfinch are really fantastic. They're thoughtful, and they sound like something you would hear on the radio.
Okay, but is it hard to set up? Probably takes a lot of work, right?
Not at all. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
Well, that sounds easy enough.
I know. I just submitted a song request for something I want to use on our tour, and I cannot wait to get it back. And based on the sample recordings I heard when I was choosing the singer, it's going to be so good. I also love that they had unique add-ons that make the gift even more special, like a vinyl record of your song or a one-of-a-kind art piece made from your lyrics. Or you could even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the #1 custom music company in the world.
Well, Maddie, I want to have a song written about me.
But Poodle, you just said you had.
I want more.
Hush. Sissies, whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their songs to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/realitygaze.
You know, Manny, this reminds me, you know that song from the Four Tops, Can't Help Myself?
Oh, I love that song. Sugar Pie Honey Bunch.
Yep, about me. And the funny thing is, they really are Four Tops.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline.
Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC.
For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com.
That's Juvederm.com.
Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching.
There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring.
Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com.
That's Juvederm.com.
The minute you walked in the joint, I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender.
Uh-oh, y'all. Poodle is singing seductive songs. That must mean we're about to go out on tour again. Ugh, sissy husbands, beware.
Whatever Poodle wants, Poodle gets. Well, you're right about one thing, Maddie. We are going out on tour, but that's not the only reason I'm positively randy. I have spring fever.
Is that something that a trip to the clinic or an antibiotic can fix?
Afraid not. When Piano Cat senses the weather getting warmer, she knows it's time to jettison those jackets and sweaters for items that show a little more skin.
Well, I hate to tell you, Poods, but you still have to cover up a little with those tour costumes. In Chicago, you were actually cited for obscenity.
Fascists! I will wear what I want and no one can stop Poodle Boudreaux!
They said next time it would be a $1,000 fine.
Maybe I could cover up a little bit. Leave something to the men's imaginations, but I don't want to wear too much. You know how I get hot.
Well, Piano Cat, I think it's your lucky day. Have you seen the new spring stuff at Quince? They have all the seasonal must-haves, like 100% European linen shirts from $30, performance polos, and versatile flow-knit activewear.
Ooh, I love those Quince performance polos. They're so soft and sumptuous, and they cup my body in all the right places. They're also great for when my daddy and I do country club tennis role play. Mixed doubles indeed.
Wow. As I was saying, with Quince, you can say goodbye to wasting money on clothes that it would only last one season. They've got high-quality pieces that never go out of style that you'll be wearing year after year. I love my blue cashmere hoodie. It's perfect for warm spring days and cool spring nights.
And people can't stop complimenting me on my leather cafe racer jacket that I've been wearing on our live shows. It's super chic and fitted and perfect for keeping me warm in those drafty northeastern backstage areas.
And the best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes.
I love that. But Maddie, I don't think that Quince has cured my spring fever. It's only made it worse. Bring on the men.
Yike. Sissies, upgrade your wardrobe. Go to quince.com/realitygaze for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's Quince.com/realitygaze to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quince.com/realitygaze. All right, everybody, we're back. Let's jump into our next lonely
okay.
part.
Well, that was quick.
kind of like a Friday night.
No, those are long. It's the Saturdays that are quick because I have to be up for church tomorrow morning.
Oh, it's true. For Jesus. I'm going to let you choose, Poodle, because you're both a hot mess. Robert and Annie, or do you want Tania and Sinjin?
No, we still have to talk about the...
Oh, and
the,
Marcel.
Yeah, I want to go with that next.
Okay, let's talk about Annie and
Marcel. This is going to be a long episode. We're sorry. There was so much that happened, though.
There was a lot that happened.
I want to talk about Anna and Marcel. So it looks like Marcel is going to talk to his parents, y'all. And he basically says it's not going to be good.
No.
So we do see, I think it's from, the voice is disguised, obviously, which is even stranger. So it looks like someone from Star Wars who he's talking to.
It does. I call
it's
them...
They're like on the planet Hoth or something. It's very disturbing.
Well, they disguise their voices. I call them the Charlie Brown teachers.
Womp, 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 womp. Marcel, fool. Womp, 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 womp.
Bees?
Bees? This, no, y'all, the joy and the frivolity of bees is over. We
it's
have
over.
Now devolved into cultural stagnation because here's the worst part of this. Marcel knew as soon as he went over... and so they had to have talked about it. They had to have talked about it. Marcel and maybe not. Maybe not. Because it seems like one of the things that these people never talk about are their futures.
That's maybe one of the most correct things you've ever said about this show. They never talk about this.
Anyway, I just want to just like, because if I hadn't have been a musician, I would have gone to a law school. That's what I think. I want to set the case against Marcel up here. Marcel knows that his parents aren't okay with Anna being, having children or marrying someone with children. He thinks that it's going to be a laughing stock of the community. Mm-hmm. Also, Marcel apparently is very, very connected to his family's business and probably without it would be penniless.
So that's true. I never thought about that.
So these are problems. Now, the thing about it is, Anna has her own business, and Marcel could move to the U.S. and do something else. Also, Marcel is connected to his religion through his family, because an Islamic family is such a strong unit. So none of this looks good from the very outlook. So the parents come at him. So he basically says, they joke a little bit about losing weight a little bit. And then he jumps right into it and says, you know, Anna, she just told me she has three children. Kind of. And he's like, oh, and the mother, which I assume was the mother turns and says, oh, she took you for a fool.
Well, because also, too, people were talking about this in the group. People were saying that TLC translated it wrong.
That's what I saw that, too.
So, and I forget what the translation said.
It was that she just told me.
Oh,
yes. That's what it was.
That's what I just said.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, no, yeah, because in the show, it didn't say that. In the show, it said Anna just has three kids.
Uh-huh.
Like he had known.
Which keeps a much more sympathetic Marcel.
Yes.
So the parents completely...
He has no spine. He has no fucking
none.
Spine.
So the parents, he rolls over. The parents completely turn on Anna, say, screw her, leave now.
Leave now. And now that whole thing, boy, that was a passive-aggressive Southern mother when she said, the whole town's been talking about it. We just didn't tell you.
And the thing is, you guys, This is coming from a definitely white cultural privilege that we can say in this society that, oh, I would just leave my family. The problem is he can't. He's stuck there. He would have to, A, probably renounce a little bit of his religious faith, at least some.
Yeah.
He would have to give up all attachment to his family because they would disown him.
Yeah.
Three, he would have no money. Which it seems like he's the village idiot anyway.
I think he's going to need them to support himself, because I don't think he's really going to be able to do it himself.
I agree. So the parents without, this is, you said something about Southern parents. They can drop, they can easily turn quickly to, they can easily ostracize someone. And the parents are like, all right, fine, screw her, come home. Come home now.
Yes.
Come home and help with the bees. That's yes. exactly what his mother said.
Yeah, because we didn't really know. The way they presented, you thought Marcel was kind of his own beekeeper, but now we've learned that he's part of
it's
the family
part
business.
Of the family business.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's just fucking working for mom and dad and doesn't really probably have a penny to his name.
Yeah, and that fucker was so high and mighty. He's like, Anna, not a good beekeeper. Fuck
exactly.
you. Fuck you. You know what? Fuck you. Fuck Anna. I hate this storyline. I'm done. If I could like throw the tablecloth off of something and walk out, I would. I'll let Cousin Olga do the rest of the show. I hate this storyline.
I'm just done with them because every time they talk about honey, then I think about biscuits, and then I just want biscuits, and I can't eat any more carbs. It's true.
So anyway. He basically tells Anna, they don't want you. She loses it. She says, so no marriage. He covers up her face. We can't even see Huey, Dewey, and Louie in this episode because her hand's over her face.
It's true. It's so, true.
Again, y'all, I'm so sick of this storyline. I don't really have, I kind of feel sorry for her, but I kind of don't. I definitely fucking hate Marcel. Bye-bye.
I don't feel sorry for her because she knew what she was getting into, and she just tried to, and she knew from the get-go, and I mean, I called it. I said he's going to leave earlier, and I hope he just fucking leaves, and I hope the update is that Anna is, you know, dating a woman who rides a motorcycle. That's all I hope for.
Like Rebecca. She can date Rebecca's lesbian friend.
Yes. But yes, Peggy that she met at the bar.
I think all of Anna's family would so welcome a lesbian. They would love it. Especially that like drunk friend who was at her bachelorette party, Annalisa. Yes.
She's been fucked over by too many abusive men. Fuck them.
I know.
Just start dating some women.
I think the kids will be fine with it too.
I think so too.
Let's go to Robert. The biggest, storylines, the amount of time was devoted to fucking Robert and Annie.
Which is probably why this episode seemed so long to me. I kept going like, how much farther do I have to go to this shit?
Well, every time I look at Robert's face, it's like time slows down.
I will say...
I'm trying to figure out why his eyes are so close together.
Don't, you know, that's like asking how the universe was created or how will it end. Just some questions we're not going to know. When somebody posted in the Sissy Squad that apparently Annie can be manipulated with cake.
Fair.
And I... fucking died because she was when he walked out and she was like, "Aye, what nice cake. What a nice."
And I like it that Bryson was singing a cake, cake, cake song, which my stomach also sings. It sings that very song.
He probably heard his dad's girlfriends play that shot, 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 shot. And so that's, bless his heart, all he knows how to play.
Robert, you know, always the feminist, has a great point of view on Annie. It's easy to deal with Annie. I just butter her up and she falls for it.
She falls for it. It's
true. And I wrote, now that's love.
I actually dislike them more than Anna and Marcel because I think Anna is
it's so different, but I hate them both. But yeah, I know what you're saying.
There's just nothing, I mean, a little bit that Robert is a good father to his son, but that's like the only redeeming thing about them.
Only redeeming thing.
But I also have to question that, how good of a father are that you're not even sure if you're going to be with this woman, and you're fucking toasting her birthday with your son, like, this is our family. Kiss, yeah. Like, kiss Annie. Like, make, this is your mommy. Like, this, I worry about, look, this is not going to work out. What the fuck is going to happen to Bryson when this woman is out of his life?
Trauma when she leaves. Can we talk about that toast that kind of went on for too long?
It's too long.
And then they asked Bryson to toast, and he's like, for family. But before that, it was, God bless you, happy birthday, the Lord make his face to shine upon you.
Yeah.
And God said there was a Dominican woman, and he said it was good.
It was
a really creepy toast that went on too long.
It was like your uncle, Your Uncle Tito keeps going on at the family reunion, and you're like, oh, he's just
And y'all, talking. That's a very American thing to have to say things when you toast. In Europe or anything, like, you hold up your glass, someone says a word, and you say prost, and then you fucking drink. There's not a long, drawn-out thing. It's a very American thing. Come at us if you have, I know, come at us for non-American friends. I just know when I've been in Europe, when we toast, it's like you say one thing and that's over.
Well, but aren't they usually doing a body shot off of you whenever they're toasting?
Fair. There's not a lot of time. There's not a lot of time. They're like licking the salt off of my navel. And push, and then pouring the tequila in, and then squirting the lime in theirs.
Yes, or hurry, drink that vodka before it goes in my asshole. Yeah, exactly.
I can't argue with that. So,
and then Annie starts to dance, and then Annie says, "I'm a sexy girl. I like to show these parts. God gave me boobies and a sexy ass."
Oh, I'm sorry. I just gotta say, the end of the toast was, we all are one.
Oh, that was gross.
We all are one.
That was gross. That was so fucking gross. You know what? You know what? And that was maybe... That grossed me out almost as much as... And maybe this is a good time, since it's almost the end of December, to announce to people what we're doing for our Bi-Curious episode for January.
Oh.
Because y'all...
We caved.
Go ahead and tell them, Poodle.
It's Love After Lockup, y'all. That is our Bi-Curious episode. That is on our Patreon. If you are a member of our Come At Us tier on Patreon, you will get our monthly Bi-Curious episode. This month, December was Plathville. And welcome to Plathville. And January's Bi-Curious, which will drop the first Friday
of January.
And we started with season two pilot episode of Love After Lockup. And y'all, that was with things like Caitlin and Matt.
And it's
Clint, y'all.
Oh, but it was the same. That'll drop January 3rd, by the way, everybody.
And Clint's wife, Haley.
Ex-wife.
That's right.
But it's the get to how this relates to 90 Day for me. It was that same feeling of when Matt called Caitlin and the phone said everything. That's the same grossness I felt when he said, "We are one."
Oh, if your name for your fiance or husband on their phone is everything, you might want to process that.
You might want to process that and come at us, because we need to help you. Normally, at the end of the show, we say call us. We really mean that for you.
No, I need you to help you if you have everything. So Annie wants to go to a strip club.
Strip bar.
Completely normal.
Robert.
I just want to say one thing about Bryson. Did they sedate this child?
He was much calmer
normally,
this episode.
Did they give him some Adderall?
I don't know
what happened, but Bryson was kind of loving. And so it's kind of like when you give me a little bit of vodka late in the night, and you can cuddle with me and I won't bite you.
Thankfully, I don't know what that's like and never will.
Anyway, so they're going to go to a strip club.
Crazy
Robert's
horse.
Outgrown it.
I have to say, look, I'm not judging for Annie for wanting to go to the strip club. I'm not even judging her for getting the lap dance. I am judging her that she fucking judged Bryson's mother so much for being a porn actress. Yet,
yeah.
Let's be honest. Annie's going to be in fucking OnlyFans in like 5 years, scissoring with some chick. Like, that's going to fucking happen.
Before we go to the strip club, y'all, she doesn't want to get her hair wet. But instead of a umbrella, we get a cardboard box crushed.
Cardboard does not stand up the water well.
No, it doesn't.
And you know what they probably did because they got into an Uber? He probably carried the box and just threw it on the fucking ground and littered.
He probably did.
That's what bothered me the most about that. And
so
y'all,
they're at the Crazy Horse. And so she gets a lap dance. Robert is hating it, which, come at us, our straight male sissies. Isn't this a straight guy's dream?
I mean, to have
a girl who you would go to the strip club with?
Let us know, Joshua Norton. Let us know, people.
Joshua like Proctor.
Proctor. Who's Norton?
I don't know. It's some kind of weird...
He's not straight. He's actually gay. I went to school with him. Sorry, Joshua.
Anywho.
But what I was going to say is, Robert's face, when she was slapping her ass, looked pretty much the way our face would look if we were watching a woman slap another woman's ass. Not good.
Yeah. He was, like, smelling a bad fart the entire time, y'all.
He was smelling,
like, not like a fart that you're pretending to not notice.
No.
Like those sulfurous kinds in the elevator that you can't help but notice. It's like all you have to register it.
Like your friend went to Taco Bueno and had too many muchacos.
Yes. Oh,
just
muchaco.
God, I love muchacos. Come at us if you love Taco Bueno.
So, anyway, she gets a lap dance. And at one point, Robert turns in her ear and mutters the very sexual expression, very sexy, I'm seeing a different side of your ass.
And he got a little freak to her side, and that tells me something.
And honestly, I really believe that the producers have to script everything for Robert. Because everything sounds like he's a teacher.
You know what? That is 100% right. Because I think he's probably one of the least articulate persons we've ever met on this show.
And I rarely use this word. He is stupid. He is very stupid. He is dumb. Anyway.
Bless his heart. But they decide the next day to go to a coffee shop. Let's just end this up with
these
people.
Yeah, please. Put it out of its misery.
They go to a fucking coffee shop, and basically, Robert's like, all like, Annie, you just want to party all the time? What, Annie? Are you just My party days are over. Are you just one to like hang out with girls? Are you a lesbian or whatever? And she's all like,
you're boring. She's like, well, I have had a three-way before. And I just love it how I think she's going to be articulate. And I think she's going to, she's trying to find the words. And she finally blurts out, she eat my pussy.
Yeah.
And of course they bleep it out, but she's like, what's the word in English? She chew my pussy.
She chew my pussy.
She's just...
She motivated my curtains.
I scream laughed. I went...
I did too.
Anyway.
So
she was in a threesome. You know, Annie, get yours. But
yeah,
I think she might be a little bi, which, do it, Annie. Get yours.
Do it. And also, too, if you want to be a married couple that goes to a strip club, great. I have to say, I honestly was more of, I thought Robert was overacting and being more of a stick in the mud than she was.
Oh, much more.
Like, and I usually am so overheard, but I was kind of like, Robert, shut the fuck up. So and she wants to, like, go have fun. Like, she wasn't being... She wasn't like, they took the kid to a sitter. It's not like she was being an irresponsible adult.
And this moral high ground that he has that really turned me off. You've had how many children out of wedlock?
You know what? He always has a moral high ground. And
yeah,
I realize,
he does.
But with nothing to back it up, you're right. That is very annoying.
Yeah, and it's so sanctimonious. He's like, I don't know if I think she was misrepresenting herself. I didn't know who she was. Bitch, all she did was send you boob and ass shots.
Yes.
She told you exactly who she was.
She told you exactly who she was. I really do think you're... I think Robert is the first man in America who doesn't want a threesome for his fucking birthday.
That is the truth.
She's
like, we do have that for your birthday. And he's like kind of rolled up his head. And I was like, is he not going to... Is he going to say no to this?
And then when he said he wanted a good woman, as if she's a bad woman just because she's sexual... Shut the fuck up, Robert.
I want a mother figure for my son's life.
A good woman. That's bullshit. Not that I think Annie's the right woman.
Then maybe go to church and look for a good woman.
Yes, or maybe don't meet a woman on fucking online and meet her for 8 hours and then bring her to meet your son.
He's doing exactly what I didn't want to do. He's judging her morally, and I was trying to judge everyone ethically by, you know, what they're doing. Not that I think Annie is an ethical wonder either.
No,
but, you know, at least Annie's entertaining.
I'm most excited for them next week. Whenever Robert's, I don't know who this bitch is, but his tell it like a truth friend comes up and says,
I think it's his sister. She's like, you know he's poor, right?
Right?
Of the Seinfeld episode when Elaine's dating this guy and he's being very secretive and she shows him his house and it's all dilapidated and the social worker comes and meets her and she's like, you mean he's not a superhero? She's like, nope, he's just poor.
Oh.
Anywho, shall we move on to the night's greatest debacle?
The last lonely heart.
Tania and Sinjin.
Oh. I have to say, this is a spoiler alert a little bit, but one of our sissies just were like at a Home Depot and saw Tania and Sinjin, and I'm so upset that they're still together.
She was wearing a boot, so she must have sprained her ankle in some way.
Probably because she was probably learning like Renaissance dance because that was going to be a skill she needed.
One of the sissies said, "Did the witch doctor not cure that with herbal remedies?"
y'all.
Anyway,
Sinjin doesn't wear shoes, and it bothers me ever.
Yeah, he's gonna get something. He'll get like ringworm or something.
And he said he wanted to sing opera. Poodle, well,
he's singing Beethoven's Fifth. His voice, I will say, he's got good resonance. He needs a whole lot of training.
When he started singing, I was like, oh, Poodle's going to go like crazy.
It's kind of like that fast, manufactured vibrato. It's like he's imitating an opera singer, not really being one. I don't know. You know what? Maybe he was trained. Usually you need to get training a little earlier in your life if you want to be an opera singer. But,
Sinjin,
you know.
if you're listening, Sinjin, Jake is a voice coach in Los Angeles, and he would do breathing exercises where you have to take your shirt off.
Just know that clothing is optional in our lessons. It's better, too, if my hand is consistently on your abdomen the whole time. But, you know, don't give me all kinds of flack if my hands go other places.
And Sinjin, it might not make sense to you, but teabagging...
It's part of the technique.
Yes, teabagging Jake will help your breath control.
Don't question what I tell you. Just believe.
Just believe.
There can be miracles if you believe. Anyway, so...
Y'all, Tania's in Costa Rica.
Yeah, and... not to get too much into this, but the bitch is wearing a swimsuit with her ass hanging out, and they're having to blur it. When TLC's blurring your swimsuit, that's bad.
That's not, and y'all, we're body positive. Her body is fine, but she's just...
If you're going to be on camera, don't wear something with your ass hanging out.
Don't wear something. That's just un-Southern.
Yeah, agree. That's true. It's not Southern.
Everything Tania does, actually, is the definition of un-Southern.
Everything she does is repellent to me. I've never seen another person who I have such a visceral hate for.
You know what?
She's united the whole community.
I almost dislike her more than the others because it's like, if you're too stupid to not know better, but Tania knows better.
Oh, yeah. She does. She's educated.
And did I not call it? $10 says that Tania's fucking making out with that salsa dancer who has BDF.
Yeah, she's flirting with him. And y'all, of course, yeah.
It's huge. It's big. Humongous. It's real big. Like it's big. Costa Rica snake.
Yeah. Black Mamba.
Black Mamba, yes.
So Sinjin can't reach her, and he's just their live-in landscaper. He does everything. He goes in, pours himself some Jack Daniels. By the way, it looks like it's 11 a.m.
Yeah, it's so early.
So he's having a hard time. Gets himself a piece of cake, and walks in the Skeksi from the Dark Crystal, otherwise known as Missy. She does have that Skeksi look to her, y'all. That kind of nose and that face.
If you don't know what that is, Google it.
Skeksi, and you're like, yep, that's Missy.
And you will die for 10 minutes.
You can just see her, like, put that. Someone Photoshop pink hair on top of a Skeksi, and you'll see what we're talking about.
You'll see exactly what you. And I feel like those two should be a sitcom. Like, when Missy walked in, I thought we were going to hear an applause track. Like, I'm home.
Walks in. She's still kind of drunk. And you imagine how awkward it is when she's like, hey, that's my tiramisu. Well, at least you're gonna fix me a piece of it.
My favorite cake. Whose favorite cake is tiramisu? That wasn't born
that's
in...
That's pretty bougie.
I mean, yeah. I'm like, what the fuck, bitch?
So anyway, they seem to be getting along pretty well until she goes outside. She's like, Singe, we need to talk about something.
And I thought it was going to be something serious.
She's like, don't touch my Jack Daniels unless you're going to go to the Packy store and buy me some more. So, y'all, just to make sure, Packy, we're not using a racial slur here. The ABC package store, and I grew up calling it the package store, not the Packy store, but that's the liquor store. So the Packy store is a liquor store.
I was going to bring that up and say, I'm shocked that she said that, but now that makes clarity. Yeah, I was
it's
a bit
the
like,
package store. They call it the Packy store. I've heard it before.
Okay, good. Good.
So anyway, I could understand her because I don't like when people drink my booze either. However, Sinjin has no money. No money. A car.
He can't buy booze at all.
He can't work.
He can't even buy a pack of gum.
No, the only booze he can buy is the money she gives him, which I don't think she's paying him.
I don't think she's paying him at all. I think it's sweet that they're getting along, but also, too, if you read her face when he was talking to her.
Oh, yeah.
She had this look like, oh, my daughter, this bitch has done this before, and you're just another pawn in the game of her life.
I'm really worried. I feel sorry for him. I really feel sorry for him.
There's been rumors that she's pregnant, and I hope that it is not with his baby, because I'm telling you, she will ruin his life.
Yeah, it's not going to be good.
It's not going to be good.
I want to not to move things on, because I have a massage coming up.
Oh, fuck, Jesus. Y'all, literally, I waited 20 minutes for him to do his fucking shit. And anyway, now,
we need to talk about Tania's roommates.
Okay, I came up with three names for them, and I'm sure that you probably came up with your own.
Well, their actual names are Tiana, Amina, and Indigo.
Are they really?
I'm not making that up. Those are their fucking names. Those are their fucking names.
That actually...
Tiana, Amina, and Indigo.
You know what? That's their fucking names. Because I was trying to think of more hipster names of like Pandora or like Zola or some shit like that.
I just called them Alvin, Simon, and Theodore. Y'all, these are three women's studies majors.
Yep.
WOMYNS. They're insufferable. These are the worst people to be seated next to at a birthday dinner. Like, in other words, you kind of, you know the host, but you don't know these bitches. Uh-huh. But these bitches are across from you. You're going to want to hang yourself by dessert.
They are... I mean, I never thought we would talk about in a TLC 90 Day Fiancé confessional decolonization.
And they mentioned it just off the cuff, too.
And him being a white cis man. They are, and look, y'all, Jake and I obviously are two white guys. And so we try to be very empathetic to other cultures and try to be open. And so it's not the, but they're actually these people that, y'all know you've met before, that say they're so open-minded, but they're actually so fucking closed-minded.
It's everyone you've, all the worst people you've ever known in San Francisco.
These are...
That's these girls.
These are literally, these are the people that fucking, like, hardcore conservative Republicans think are the... Yeah. They think everybody in California are these people.
And
which is not true.
It's like... It's also, they're the ones who are enabling her to be so awful. And they,
exactly.
They think they think empowerment, they think what they're saying is empowering, but it's actually just obnoxious. They don't realize it.
And it's so interesting how, like, they talk about they want to support women, but they're totally tearing down St. John when they know nothing about him.
They know nothing about him.
They have no... And to me, they're speaking from such a place of fucking privilege of being from the United States when he literally is moved to from South America and given up everything to be here.
The whole thing... And they were basically telling her, well, that must be... You're really going to have to... It's not your job to educate him. It's not your job. He just needs to be re-educated. You're not doing it, though.
You're not doing it. I mean,
It was so gross. I hated them.
I actually hate them more than I've hated anybody on this season. And that's saying something.
They were so awful. They were so awful.
They were horrible, horrible, horrible. Anyway, and I couldn't. Y'all, we deal with this because sometimes when you work in an activism space, you see like queer activists that like, no, nobody else is right than them. They were just like, believe me, for people listening, not everybody in California is like that. Jesus.
No. Almost half the people in San Francisco are like that.
That is true. Thank God we live in LA.
If you go to San Francisco, you'll see a lot of those.
Y'all, that's why Jake and I don't live in San Francisco. It's too fucking hippie for us.
I would also never stop having sex. That's the other thing.
Because people need to wear deodorant.
That's true. Let's go to the phone call that Sinjin calls her and says that she has to take. So, anyway, so Sinjin is basically saying, I haven't talked to you. She's like, I gotta go. You know, don't you love that phone call? It's like what Maddie does to me when he's like, I gotta go really quick. When I'll pick up the phone. I gotta go soon.
Or like when you say, can we hurry this up because I have a massage.
Touche. Fair.
Oh, I read
fair.
You more.
Fair.
It was horrible. And the way she was like, he kept like, obviously he was spurring her on.
He's lonely.
He was lonely, but she was just like so dismissive of his feelings.
Yeah. Y'all, I will, she's, and then the best, she was basically saying, he's like, you know, just call me, text me when you get home. She's like, I'll do my best. I make no promises. You know how I hate to make promises I can't keep because I am so fucking self-righteous.
Because I'm a strong woman and no man tells me what to.
No, this
barf,
is just common fucking courtesy.
Awful.
She basically says, I may or may not.
She's going to be the worst.
I hate her so much. I would slap her in the face if I saw her.
I would want to.
I would have to be arrested for assault.
I hope she doesn't have a baby because she's going to fuck over that child so bad.
Yeah, it's going to be bad.
Like, that child's going to have really bad issues.
So... She does, he kind of yells at her by saying, you know, She's like, I wish you weren't so sarcastic right now. I wish you could have some more pep in your step and be happy for me. He's like, I'm going to have some pep in my step and be out of here.
As he fucking should.
Yeah. Ugh. I feel so... Y'all, is anyone out there... Come at us. Is anyone out there, Team Tania? Is anyone?
You know, do come at us. And I won't...
I want to know. Explain it to me. Please.
I won't judge you. I'm more just... Yes, I'm fascinated to hear your opinion. Unless you're... What were their names? Indonesia?
Unless you are... Unless you're Alvin, Simon, and Theodore.
Then we don't want to fucking hear
from
you, bitches.
No, don't talk to me.
No one does.
Don't talk to me. I was kind of amazed that two of the three had a septum ring. And not that I have problems with septum rings. I think they can be quite cute on girls. I don't really love them on guys. But these were big gauge septum rings.
Ooh. Oh, they have a lot of tantric sits with women. A lot. And good for them.
Yeah, lots of Ferdinand the Bull stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, wasn't into it. Anyway, so at the near the end, the Tamiettes are, or the Taniettes, I call them. They're like doing the interview on the street, and they're like, she just needs to own her power. It's fine.
Oh, God. That's the problem, is that she just owns her fucking power and nobody else's.
I hope they all get dysentery.
I gotta
all
do
of them
too.
Get something.
I just want to see life happen to them. Just, I want life to fucking happen
Take
to
a,
you.
That one of them has to be an office manager in a health club or something.
Yes. And yeah. Another one has to like work at a fucking WeWork.
Like that would be tragic
just,
irony.
I just want them fucking see your own privilege and get used to it. Whatever.
I think that's all I have.
That's all
and,
I have.
And I think it's now time, because I got to get my massage.
Oh, Jesus.
To get on to our sissy shout-outs. I'll go first, because you probably have to find yours.
What letter are we on?
I believe we're on M and N, because we did K and L.
Are you sure? I thought we did M and N last time.
Did
Whatever.
We?
Whatever, we can do it again.
Did we?
Maybe we should do it again, just in case. Because, you know, if we skip over a letter, they're going to fucking come for us.
I don't know. Who did we do last time? No, who? Look up, here. Look up Alyssa's posts.
Oh, God. I'm glad we're doing this. While I'm looking, why don't you tell people where they can find us and all that good shit?
Y'all, if you want any of our other podcasts, this has been 90 Day Gays. You can find us at www.sissythattalknetwork. Sissythattalk.com. Sorry.
I'm glad you fucked the thing I asked you to do up.
Sissythattalk.com. Anyway, and you can find our Riverdale podcast, which is also called River Mails. You can find our Sweet Tea podcast, which is Southern Charm on Bravo. Then we also have Bitchcraft, which is Sabrina the Teenage Witch, which is coming back January 24th. And you can find Dear Maddie, which is Maddie's advice podcast. Also, y'all, we've still got holiday merch going until February 1st. You got to get your everyone needs Let It Be. Let It Be. Let It Be. I kind of wish there was a button you could press on a sweatshirt and my mother in her voice would go, Let It Be. Let It Be. How stupid.
I wish that too.
How stupid. Anyway.
Uh-oh, y'all, don't pull over.
Don't pull over. That's just a really loud ambulance.
Oh, my
a
God.
A really loud one.
By the way, I think we did, because I'm not seeing M and N, but I'm seeing L.
We did K and L.
We did K and L, like, on December 4th.
Oh.
So I think we did M and N, and I think we're on O and P.
Oh,
and
okay.
Y'all, if we messed up, tell us and we'll do M and N next week. So let's do O and P.
Y'all, life is hard.
Y'all, we are doing the best we
can. I'm doing the best.
Do you want to do O or P?
Hold on. Now I gotta have to look at a whole different thing. I know. I'm gonna do P.
Oh, God. All right. Hold on. Then I guess I'm going first. Jesus. Okay.
I can do P first.
No, I found an O.
Okay. Today's sissy shout out from me goes to...
Well, hold on. I'm first. I'm O.
Okay, fine.
My shout out goes to Sharon... Oh, her last name starts with O, so I want to say Sharon O. Hennessy?
That needs to rhyme.
Oh, but it almost...
Wannacy. Sharon O. Wannacy?
Hennessy.
Wannacy. I did it for you.
Wannacy, yes. For instance, her real last name, instead of that movie, it would be like Juan of the Dead, but... Something of the Dead.
Yes. Wannacy.
Sharon O. Wannacy. Y'all. Sharon O. Wannacy. She was on an episode of In Treatment.
Oh.
Not In Treatment. Of the one that we love. Well, wait. The one of... Oh. Of Intervention.
Yes.
She was on an episode of Intervention, y'all, because she's addicted to making big cardboard cutouts of people's heads. She literally will see somebody that she saw at like Vista Ridge Mall, and then she'll take a picture of them, and then she will stalk them and then just bring a big cardboard cutout head to their front door.
Oh.
And people think that she wants to kill them, but she just feels like life is small. Why not be big?
And that's so a she great makes, metaphor.
So she makes big heads. Also, too, a lot of people don't know this. She makes big heads because she has huge dildos in her closet. Giant. I mean, like, huge. I mean, she has those kind that, like, she has to climb up on a stepladder just to get onto.
And you go, woo!
Woo! Woo! Woo! Yes, but it does, it's fine with her because the men that she usually dates are from the Congo.
Perfect.
So anyway, that's Sharon Owanasi.
Owanasi.
Yes.
Mine is Stephanie Holmes Schmelkney. Repeated. Stephanie Holmes Schmel me. Smell me. Smell me. Schmelky.
Okay.
Y'all, I love a good hyphenated name.
It's true. And so tell us about Stephanie.
Y'all, Stephanie's a trained assassin. She is, in her home life, they would never know it. Her kids are lovely. Three boys, two girls, and she owns a llama, too. And strangely enough, the llama is a big part of the assassins.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. The llama, she basically rides the llama everywhere, and they never get to track her, because you can't track a fucking llama.
You can.
Anyway, that llama's fucking smart. Its code name is Danger Dog. Doesn't make a lot of sense.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
But anyway, so Stephanie's out being an assassin whenever she can. Her favorite place to kill people is the Marie Callender's in town. Because everybody knows when you're eating a pot pie, you are the most vulnerable to attack.
You're not paying attention to anything.
Nope.
But you know, I've noticed we have a lot of assassins in the Sissy Squad.
I know, they're all over the place.
I know, we've talked about a lot.
Stephanie, the only person Stephanie could not kill, that she felt kind of bad about it, was this neighbor she grew up with, and she always felt, and she was right about to shoot the gun, and then the girl turned around and said, "Stephanie, oh my God, you look so pretty. Oh, I love how you're doing your makeup lately. It's got you're going heavy on the blush." And then she shot the bitch in the face.
Oh.
So, you know, it's fine. That's all
it's
it
fine.
Had to do.
It's all...
Well. So anyway, that's Stephanie's story.
Well, y'all find us on Cameo. Y'all, that's all. We do. Poodle and I have lowered our prices, actually. To 20.
I've lowered mine, too. I need to figure it out. But I'm actually only going to be 20 as well.
So you can find us on Cameo. And, y'all, you can tweet us, Instagram us at 90 Day Gays. You can find us there.
And you can find me at Jake It or Fake It.
And me at the Matt Maher. And, y'all, we talk about these people because aren't we all just lonely hearts?
Yes.
Boy, you fucked that up. Boy, you know
yes.
what?
Yes, we all are lonely hearts. And if you decide to get a 90-day fiancé, you're going to call us.
Call us.
Call us.
Call us.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.